This is In Focus, the weekly public affairs program from KTBB and the Team Sports Radio, featuring members of the local community working to make East Texas a better place.
Well, welcome to In Focus, folks. Good to have you with us. We're going to spend a little time talking with George Roberts of the Northeast Texas
Public Health District,
about a number of things. First of all, welcome.
Thank you for having me on today.
Indeed. First of all, let's talk about a big project you've got coming up in January.
Correct.
You want us all to get skinny.
Sure. Well, skinny. Actually, we want everybody to get healthy.
Healthy. There you go.
Healthy.
Okay.
We want everybody to get healthy. You know, one of the things that happens every year, Roger, is everybody always has a New Year's resolution. I want to make... Either way, I'll make more money or we'll lose weight. So it's kind of one of those, you know, or other things in life.
I'd like to do both, actually.
Yeah, so lose weight. Well, I want to get healthier in the new year. So we, several years ago, we started up a project called, so it was part of Fit City Tyler. For those of your listeners who aren't familiar, Fit City Tyler was established back in 2010 around the idea we want to make Tyler and East Texas fit cities one step, one bite, one health conscious decision at a time.
Okay.
And it's
all
set
right.
up around the whole idea.
Kind of a long slogan,
yeah,
long that's all right.
It's set up around the whole idea. At that particular point in time, 2010, 28% of our population was obese. And that's measured by if you have a BMI of 30 and greater.
Okay.
So, 20, and we
body
thought,
mass index,
like, oh my gosh, that's not good. We saw the obesity trends in the country going up.
Yeah.
And we were starting to make, as you get into the 20 teens, starting to see a little bit of impact, maybe that leveling out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then COVID-19 hit.
Yep.
And the obesity rates are in more like 38% now. So it's really a problem. And we know why should you and I worry about people being obese? Well,
yeah.
It causes other health conditions, such as cancer, heart disease, stroke, diabetes. There's a whole host of issues that come up when people are overweight and obese. And so we wanted to do something that was, we set up something in 2012, 2013 around the idea, what if we had a little contest? And it was established around the million, about why don't we try the Biggest Loser? And Biggest Loser trying to lose weight.
Yep.
And we said, what can we do to try to encourage people, kind of have a carrot out there for people to lose weight over several months?
Okay.
So we established Lighten Up East Texas. And we're doing that this year around the eye. We're starting the weigh-in periods in January. The weigh-out period will be the end of April. And so what's the carrot? Well, if you lose 5%, if you weigh in and weigh out, if you lose 5% of your weight between that period, you're eligible for prizes. And our grand prize this year is a $5,000 cash prize.
Okay.
So if Roger or George wants to try to lose weight, lose 5%, voila, we can weigh in, weigh out, see if we lose 5%, and then maybe have a chance at a prize.
Well, you can buy a lot of Big Macs.
Yeah, 5,000. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
You can go back and maybe have a piece of cake for some to celebrate.
And I know how that happened in COVID. I was we all had to work from home.
Right.
And I was conducting news meetings from the house. And when you do that, that fridge is right around the corner.
That's right.
You know?
And
right after the meeting's over, I go make a sandwich and blah, blah, blah. So,
and COVID was stressful.
I know.
It was stressful. So
it's tougher to snack at work.
Yeah.
Than it is at home.
COVID, see, for me, I was at the office the whole time. We were, doing the COVID, we were communications around the community all over the area. So old George here was at work every day. So that was, I'm also that baby boomer mentality is for me to get stuff done, I have to go to the office. So that's just,
that's
kind of the way other people had to.
Really I didn't like it, but it was orders.
My orders were is that have my tail at the office and work. This way we could work through all that.
I know.
So Lighten Up East Texas. So going back,
when does that start?
It started, we actually started this thing. First time we did it was in 2013. So we did it in 2013, 2014, 2015, 2016, 2017, 2018, and 2019. We had done the weigh-in in 2020, and then COVID happened, so we had to basically pause the program.
Okay.
We started up again last year. So just to give you the totals here, last year we weighed in 1,300 people across East Texas. We weighed out 656.
Okay.
Collectively, they lost right at 4,380 pounds.
Wow.
One year we did this, our probably largest year was in 2017. We weighed in 3,100 people, weighed out about just under 1,400, lost over 10,000 pounds.
Whoa.
So collectively, we've lost over since this period of time around 65,000 pounds.
We've lost a small town.
Yeah, we've lost some pretty good weight over time. So we showed that the thing really does work. So it's Lighten Up East Texas. So that's our event, and then really to get people really engaged in it, Thursday, January 16th. at the W.T. Berkshire Conference Center from 4 to 7 p.m.
Okay.
We're going to have our Health and Wellness Expo. We did it January 6th of this past year.
Yeah.
This year's going to be on a Thursday evening, 4 to 7. So come after work. Come. We'll have all kind of, you know, people say, well, how can I lose weight? What can I do to get healthier? We'll have a number of people from the hospitals, from area gyms, from other health-type oriented businesses here locally.
Cool.
They'll be there to help you on your health path. Because, like, it's great for me to say to somebody, you need to lose weight, or encourage them to lose weight. But what are some tools here? So we encourage people, come out 4 to 7 p.m. on January 16th at the W.T. Berkshire Conference Center here in Tyler. So please come join us for that.
Okay.
It should be a lot of fun. We'll have the entire center there.
I assume it won't cost you anything to get in.
It's free to get in.
Yeah.
And the Light in the Beach, Texas is free to get in. So it's free. So it's free, basically, but what's in
the magic word.
Yeah. So what price can you put on your health anyway? So that's free to get in, but hopefully you're going to learn some things and it'll help you take some healthy steps for 2025.
Well, if you check a doctor's bill, you know what price you can put on your health.
Amen.
Exactly.
Amen. Or other testing goes along with that. Or medication that goes along with that.
Indeed. So, indeed.
You know, I've got one of our staff members talk to me about this person is a type 2 diabetic.
Yeah.
And took it upon themselves to basically just start losing weight.
Mm-hmm.
And person is just so proud of themselves now, tells me, you know, Mr. Roberts, I've been losing this amount of weight. I've lost X amount of pounds. And the main thing, I'm really trying to get off my insulin. And she's pretty darn close to being able to do that. So I'm really proud of her for doing that. But basically, it's taking that responsible step to take control of your own health.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we really want to encourage people to do is it's Roger's health. It's George's health.
Yeah.
We're responsible for taking control of our own health. So a doctor's not going to do that for us. He'll help us on that, but it's our responsibility day in and day out. We're the ones that got to live with ourselves.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And kudos to her for trying to do it.
Yeah. I just think that's the
naturally
story.
As much as she possibly can. I mean, without sounding like somebody who wants you to drink raw milk, which is dangerous. I, for example, just had an exam, and my cholesterol was literally 3 points over, what is it supposed to be,
100? 200,
yeah,
200 is the number.
Yeah, I was like 203,
right.
Whatever. And they said, well, we can prescribe some statins to get that down. I said, how about I just change my diet? You know, maybe a little more fish, a little less meat, a little more, a little less of that. Don't get the fries.
Right.
If you have to go through the drive-thru, I'd rather do it that way, frankly.
Absolutely.
For that small an amount of reduction.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's a small lifestyle change.
So it's basically, it's personal responsibility here. So again, that's whole, what all Fit City Tyler is about, to try to have those things that will give people some tools to look at there.
Yeah.
We have a website out there for Fit City Tyler. It's called fitcitytyler.com.
Okay.
So you can find out all about this if you say, well, he said January the what? Or what day is it?
Yeah.
You have the website. It's all out there.
Okay, separate website from the NetHealth website.
We can direct you from our NetHealth website, but it's fitcitytyler.com.
Okay.
Thursday, January 16th, 4 to 7 p.m., W.T. Berkshire Conference Center. Come see all the vendors and folks we have out here to help you take control of your own health in 2025 and weigh in for Light in the Beach, Texas.
You know, I know you've done a million of these, and we always assume everybody knows everything that it's been pounded into their heads. But the Northeast Texas Public Health District, a lot of people may not be aware of all the areas you guys cover.
Yeah, it's always, I think the pandemic put us in a light, but now it's like, I still have people ask me, I've been doing this for 18 years now, and where do you work, George? Northeast Texas. Well, tell me a little bit about it. So we have, it's a fascinating organization. Public health is one of those things. I was in hospital management for years before I started doing this, and public health is one of those interesting things in life. I heard a colleague out there describe public health as it's like the offensive line of the football team.
Okay.
So if we're doing our jobs well, if we're protecting the quarterback, making those holes come through, we don't really get recognized.
Yeah.
And so we're the offensive line out there.
I'm from Houston. We don't have one of those right now, apparently.
Yeah.
So I can tell.
Yeah. So it's basically, that's our role. So it's a fascinating organization, and our mission is to prevent illness, promote health, and protect the community.
Mm-hmm.
So if we are doing our job well, our community is healthy. So why is public health important? Well, one thing we offer is environmental health. So I'm assuming you go to restaurants.
Oh, yeah.
You go to restaurants around here in Tyler. Mm-hmm. Well, one of our roles is to inspect the food establishments, both mobile and brick and mortar food mm-hmm. establishments here locally. And make sure when you go in there, it's
the taco truck on the corner even gets inspected.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. It's a mobile food unit. So we basically, why is that important? Because mm-hmm. we want to make sure that they're, how's the food? Are they cooking things properly? Is their staff, they know how to wash their hands.
Yep.
You know, what are they doing? Are they have good practices to make sure when Roger Gray goes mm-hmm. and gets something to eat, that you don't get sick? So that's one of the services that we offer. You know, we're preventing illness right there. And so that's a very prime, that's a big thing of public health is we do the food and restaurant inspections.
Okay.
Another thing we do is a laboratory work. We test around 300 plus water utility companies, their water samples for E. coli and coliform mm-hmm. in the water. So you're announcing probably on the news here a lot of times, such and such municipality has a boil water
notice. Boil water notice, yeah.
Well, my staff is one. They work in concert with TCEQ to clear those. Either say, this looks bad, mm-hmm. and maybe say, okay, it's okay now to drink. So that's part of our task. We test water samples.
Yeah.
We also test, we're one of 6 or 7 public health labs in the state that tests milk samples. So state sanitarians bring us milk mm-hmm. samples to test, and we decide if is the milk okay to drink.
Yep.
Are they properly pasteurizing, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And then we also do STDs there in our clinic. So we test for, you know, the lab testing for STDs. So milk, water, and STDs we test in our lab. Then you go to immunizations. We'll talk about vaccines. I know you want to talk about vaccines a bit more.
Yeah.
But our immunization department, we do over 13,000, 14,000 immunizations a year. Mm-hmm. All kind of childhood, adult, flu vaccines, et cetera. So big program. They also do lots of outreach.
And they're right now, we have a news story running today, but we're seeing a lot of norovirus popping up.
Yeah. Now, norovirus is not one that you can take a vaccine for.
But right.
Goes back to that. I actually did a little story about it recently, and basically 58% of norovirus is caused by a foodborne illness.
Aha.
So that's CDC data there. Mm-hmm. What's one of the biggest things that if the food worker's sick and not wash their hands properly, that can be transmitted to Roger Gray when he comes through the comes in and gets his food. So foodborne illness is a big piece of that. We also operate the WIC program. And for those of your audience.
And by the way, WIC just celebrated its 50th year in Texas.
And we've been going since, I think, our NetHealth WIC has been going since the 70s, I think, late 70s. So we were one of the early adapters here.
Yeah.
But we operate this WIC program in 20 counties in East Texas. So I have a WIC clinic all the way up Clarksville, all the way south, all along the Arkansas-Louisiana border.
This is women and children. This is the successor, I gather, to food stamps and
well, actually, it's
or not, the old AFDC.
Food stamps are still out there.
Mm-hmm.
Ours is called WIC is called supplemental food. So basically, pregnant mothers, new mothers, children up to age 5, and we even help dads. But basically, we provide them supplemental food. So it's not if you come to WIC and you get your nutrition education, et cetera, we're not giving you thousands of dollars worth of food. You're getting supplemental like fresh fruits and vegetables, dairy products, grains, bread products, et cetera. So we're giving supplemental foods.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, one of our big benchmarks is we want to encourage women to breastfeed.
Okay.
So I think we've had 80%+ of our women breastfeed. We provide breastfeeding supplies. We provide breast pumps for women to be able to breast pump. Do everything we can to encourage breast milk because that's the most healthy thing you can offer to your baby is breast milk.
Right. Yeah.
So WIC is a
antibodies and so forth are transmitted. Yeah.
So we're having 25,000+ clients a month in our WIC programs around the East Texas area. We have 3 clinics in 2 in Tyler, 1 in Lindale and Smith County. So it's a great program.
Okay.
One I was very unfamiliar with until I took this position and saw the amazing good that they're doing. They'll help women and even dads. We've had a peer dad program started several years ago around the idea that why don't we do something to help our dads out there be better dads?
Mm-hmm.
What a novel concept.
Sure.
If we can help them, what can we do to help women? And a lot of times women come in, they'll say, well, we help them with their nutrition issues, but do you have other issues in the house? Well, my husband needs a job. Okay, well, we make a referral to the Texas Workforce Commission. We try to make lots of referrals to people that can maybe help them other ways than just nutrition.
Right.
So it's a terrific program. It's really one of the best programs out there, I think, for it has a, I think, an ROI of 3 to 1. So it's basically, so it's USDA funded to the state, mm-hmm. and then we have a contract with the state. We're one of my organization is actually one of the top five WIC organizations in the state of Texas. Largest, that is, yeah. since we have covered so many counties.
Have you seen, obviously, we've become so, and I was going to ask you about immunizations, we've become so polarized on so many things. Has that affected your work? Have people, is there a reticence out there, a reluctance, maybe even, oh, they're getting WIC stuff and so right. forth? Are you seeing any of that?
Yeah, not WIC as much. We've seen some of the immunization area around mm-hmm. the whole idea, and if you'll... It's interesting to look back to COVID. When the COVID vaccine, we served as a vaccine hub for COVID back mm-hmm. in 2021. Did it at the old Harvey Convention Center. And I confess
I got the Johnson & Johnson because it was only one shot.
Yeah, we thought that would be great until it wasn't great. Did you have any, were you okay after?
I got through it, so.
Okay, did you have any problems afterwards? Or?
No, huh?
So you did okay.
But were there problems with it?
Yeah,
the J&J?
J&J had some cardiovascular issues.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
Anyway, we did that for a little while, and basically the state said, stop.
Yeah.
So anyway, we did Moderna and Pfizer and all that kind of stuff. But we've given almost 92,000 vaccines over that period of time. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting, at one point in COVID, I mean, people were beating a path to our door to come get the vaccine.
Sure.
And it really, you know, I reflect back on it. I think that the COVID vaccine helped us get through that. Back in January of 21, mm-hmm. we had the most people in the Tyler hospitals that were hospitalized for COVID.
Oh, yeah.
Once we started getting the vaccine out, the numbers in the hospitals really started going down. Mm-hmm. So I think it helped us get through that major issue back in 2021.
People tend to forget. I guess it's easy to forget that, I mean, a lot of hospitals in big cities were setting up tents.
Oh, yeah.
Because they were full.
Oh, yeah.
It was like a MASH tent set up in the parking lot.
Yeah, we were worried back in, you know, which is kind of sides. When COVID first hit in March of 2020, mm-hmm. one of the things we really worry about here is, you know, my organization, Public Health, the city and the county mm-hmm. really worked on is how can we help these hospitals make sure that they're not just absolutely overwhelmed with COVID patients right. and still take care of everybody else, and how can we find more personal protective equipment, most mm-hmm. things like that. And so that's what we really focused on, and we got through that first round pretty well, and then people really started getting sick. It seemed like July and August of 2020, the numbers really started going up. But that right. first round, until we got some PPE and things like that, mm-hmm. supplies, and started coming up with some cures, that it was tough.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, the vaccine really kind of helped us get over the hump, I think.
Part of the problem, I think, and we can blame social media to some extent about this, it is so much easier to spread misinformation
sure.
these days. And that creates skepticism and periodically mm-hmm. the autism thing rears sure. its ugly head, which, by the way, vaccines don't do that. And that's something you guys have to deal with and medical professionals have to deal with.
Right. We see, you know, the autism in Europe, there's been more cases of autism come up the last few years. Is it vaccines? Well, most kids get a vaccine. So mm-hmm. is there a correlation? Well, there may be, but all kids are getting vaccines. So if you're looking at everybody, is that the real cause of autism? Is it something in the food supply? Is it something in the environment? I don't know. I don't know the answer.
Correlation is not causation.
Or are we just doing a better job? We're kids having cases detecting, of autism when you and I were growing up and we just mm-hmm. didn't, we just didn't know it. Or we just didn't, maybe they were on the spectrum. We just like, okay.
Sure. He's a shy kid or whatever.
Basically, he's a super smart kid and maybe his social skills aren't there. Mm-hmm. You know, those are things we kind of talked about. But yeah, it's, mm-hmm. I think that bears some real, what is the real cause for some of these number of autistic cases going up? But well, we don't really think it's autism. You know, I mean, it's immunization.
No, we know.
That's some real. You know, people want to point to that. So.
Yeah, and that has been debunked for a long time. There was one initial study that apparently was incredibly flawed.
He was out of the UK, and I think he was actually, you know, his medical license was jerked, but now he lives in Texas.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
I hope it's not.
That was debunked.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Very much so.
But it's still out there, and it's going to be an issue at the legislature this time. Mm-hmm. You see people are, you know, why are we doing so many vaccines to kids? But mm-hmm. I think there's some pretty good evidence why we've done that. And it goes back, you know, we're talking off mic about, you know, think about the 50s when you and I were kids. Mm-hmm. Our parents, I just can't imagine our... Can you imagine with our children now, us being worried about polio? I mean, polio was a debilitating disease.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
Basically, kids got paralyzed or had to live in iron lungs.
I'm a little older, and I recall I grew up in a suburb of Houston. You didn't want to play after dark. I mean, nobody knew much.
Right.
Except they saw all the kids in the iron lungs. Look at an old photograph of an iron lung.
Absolutely.
An iron lung ward, yeah.
I've told people that, you know, when I first started in profession, I worked at Baylor Hospital in Dallas, and I came over here and worked at Mother Francis. Mm-hmm. We had iron lungs. And I remember seeing people in iron lungs in the hospital. We actually would have an iron lung and are ready to go. If a polio patient came mm-hmm. into the hospital, we had iron lungs ready yeah. for them to go. Because we had to do that.
And nowadays, I was reading a news story the other day.
Polio Pete?
No, what?
There was a polio. There's a guy, I think it was a Dallas area. They call him Polio Pete. He actually lived in an iron lung. He recently passed away, but he stayed in his iron lung till like he was 70, 80 years old, and he passed away. But he got a law degree, so just to, you know, sound like a brilliant guy. But
to show how rare it is, there was a news story. An Israeli boy has developed a case of polio. He's unvaccinated.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's so rare that one case in Israel made news.
Well, and they try, you know, Rotary, I've been part of Rotary's for a while now, and Rotary back in the 80s said, we want to do something. We want to eliminate polio. Mm-hmm. It's one of our real core values here. That's going to be our real push.
Sure.
So the last 40 years, I mean, cases of polio, so it's below 100. Every year they can keep thinking we're going to eliminate. I think there's mm-hmm. still a few cases. You mentioned Israel. I hadn't heard that one, but the one, Pakistan and Afghanistan seem to be the two hot spots that they just haven't been able just to say eliminate.
Right.
But we're hopeful. I mean, when they started, there were still a lot of cases of polio around the world when Rotary started this effort in the 80s. So.
Wow. And we all remember the March of Dimes and all of that. Yeah.
March of Dimes. Yeah. March of Dimes.
But yeah, I was the first generation. I got the shot. You were the generation who got the sugar, cube.
Yeah. The sugar cube. And I mean, the salt vaccine was just unbelievable. But getting it out to the masses, I remember going to the mass clinics with that.
Our parents were, you know, eternally grateful.
Oh, yeah.
That we did not have to face that.
And some things we offer, too. Now, the pertussis, you hear the cases of pertussis are kind of increasing right now. That's mm-hmm. the whooping cough.
Yeah.
You know, you used to hear kids have had whooping cough.
Oh, yeah.
They say, how do you know they had whooping cough? And they basically, well, like, you hear the whoop in the cough.
Mm-hmm.
So we have, it's called diphtheria, tetanus, and pertussis.
And again, growing up, there was no measles vaccine when I was a kid. You just had to get measles.
Or chickenpox.
Yeah.
Or mumps.
And now there are.
Yeah, those are childhood diseases that we all like, okay, we get it, but then mm-hmm. Those things can really harm you long term. You know, mm-hmm. So they have great harm in those things.
Yeah.
So that's, we don't want to, the vaccines are out there to try to create less harm. You know, RSV is now a vaccine that you're seeing more and more for the kids. That's a very debilitating thing when kids that.
Mm-hmm.
Rotavirus, you know, Haemophilus influenza. So those types of things that can really lead to real severe childhood diseases are the things that we try to vaccinate for with children. And they're required in the school systems.
Yeah, I'm not sure when this distrust of science began, but
I think it's been going. There's been anti-vax movement going on for a number of years now, but mm-hmm. COVID really accentuated, and I think we ran the idea. I think it's the COVID-19 thing, because I'm trying to think back, well, what caused people to really go against mm-hmm. it? I think it's when there were mandates put out there that you must get the COVID vaccine, and we as Americans don't like to be mandated.
Well, no.
We don't like to be told that thou shalt do this.
But your kid has had to get vaccinated for school for years.
Yes, I remember one was the meningitis shot that came out. I think it came out in the 2000s, and either 1990s or 2000s. But I remember when I was in college, I remember a kid getting meningitis and dying. Kid on the football team got meningitis and died.
Wow.
So we were all a little scared about that.
Well, sure. But that's all available now, and to not take advantage of it is almost irresponsible.
And so
you also put other people,
absolutely,
depending on the disease, you're putting other people at risk.
At risk. So we encourage people to get those vaccines. The vaccine schedule is on our website, our new and improved website, mynethealth.org. And come see us. We're at 815 North Broadway, Roger, and open typically 8 to 4, 8 to 6 on Wednesdays. And we can take care of childhood vaccines. We can take care of adult vaccines. We can take care of flu vaccines. And we can, if you, we typically charge an admin fee. Yeah. Administrative fee, but basically state supplies us. So if you don't have insurance, we can take care of you. And you don't have to see a doctor when you come into us. We can find your records in the MTRAC system and take care of you. So please come get your immunizations.
And flu shots. I mean, for goodness sakes, we're heading into the winter.
It's not too late to get a flu shot. I got mine back in early January. And since I'm over a certain age, I can get the high dose flu vaccine. And that's really very helpful. So knock on wood, I haven't got the flu yet.
Is this wood? Well, okay. No, it's
good enough.
Linoleum or something or whatever.
It's wood. I feel the winter either.
Yeah. So what other areas do you guys deal with?
So we also do public health emergency preparedness in 7 counties. So we're the ones that any disease considered reportable to the state, which up until March 8th of 2024 was COVID-19. We counted over 150,000 COVID cases in our 7 county area. Wow. Those are the ones that got seen and through a lab and through a doctor's office. There's a lot more that we didn't know about.
And we're finding out a lot of people dealing with long-haul COVID, long-term stuff.
Yeah. Which has been kind of tough on some folks, too. So any reportable disease like measles, mumps, rubella, hepatitis C, those types of things are reportable to the state. Okay. We're responsible for keeping track of those and for counting those for 7 county area. And so we also have some coordinators in these 7 counties that basically work with emergency management officials, county judges, commissioners, and counties to try to help them any type of public health needs, such as maybe tornado. If there's my director, Russell Hopkins, was very involved with Van Zandt County when they had tornadoes come through there several years ago, trying to help them with some resiliency training, et cetera, help them post-op, post the fact. So we help communities with their response to public health response to emergencies. Public health emergency preparedness, community wellness, a big community wellness. We have a center for healthy living on 155. It's an old fire station. Mm-hmm. So we have that out there. We help women with that don't have insurance with breast and cervical cancer screenings. We can help them get access to those. Yeah. We also have diabetes education classes. So we have several other programs. And if you just want to walk in the center sometime, we'll check your blood pressure, we'll check you out, see how you're doing.
Well, you talk about emergencies. Growing up in Houston,
hurricanes, tornadoes.
As a kid, I went through the hurricanes. And then as a young news guy reported on the hurricanes, there's always flooding. There's always, after Harvey, I was talking to friends. I wasn't there then. The mosquitoes were incredible. Okay. High water everywhere. Snakes. Lord knows what's in the water itself.
Yeah. So, is the water drinkable? Is your sewer system working? A lot of times, probably the sewer system went out because it got flooded out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And that's where your local health authority, your local health district steps in
and helps. So, that's one of the things I know that in Harris County and also the city of Houston, they have strong folks in there that are working those things.
Yeah. So, these are the kinds of things we do. And as you say, an outbreak of anything, now people are talking about bird flu.
Yeah.
I know we do not have a human-to-human transfer yet of bird flu.
Yeah, basically it's been animal to humans. And basically, I think there's more severe case out in California here in the last week or two. But when it first came out, it was basically more like conjunctivitis.
Yeah.
Kind of like a bad case of pink eye. So they kind of started figuring it out. But that's one we're kind of watching right now to see what's going to happen with that.
Mm-hmm. And I guess, we were talking about misinformation and so forth and trends online and so on. Raw milk, for example, that's actually one of the problems with bird flu.
Right.
You can get it from raw milk.
Right, right. It's raw milk, we don't encourage people because, again, there's one of the things about milk is basically it can have bacteria and things like that. That's why we encourage people to drink pasteurized milk. So that's one of the things that we taught them. Again, we test the milk supply for work with the state on those types of things. So we want you to be healthy. I mean, if you want to drink raw milk, just know that there's a potential there that you're drinking some bacteria. And again, the bird flu in there with the cows, that could be an issue with that.
Louis Pasteur did all that work for a reason.
There's a reason.
For a reason.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
Again, let's pitch him on the
Health and Wellness Expo, Thursday, January 16th, 4 to 7 p.m., mm-hmm. W.T. Brookshire Conference Center, Lighten Up East Texas on the 6th of January. Okay. So there's weigh-in locations all over East Texas. Look on the fitcitytyler.com website. So, and if you want to know more about Northeast Texas Public Health District, well, we shorten it to NetHealth, mynethealth.org. So, fitcitytyler.com for information about our mm-hmm. couple of different websites there, Roger. Fitcitytyler.com for the Health and Wellness Expo and Lighten Up East Texas web weigh-in sites. Mynethealth.com to learn all that we offer with the Northeast Texas Public Health District.
In Focus is a weekly public affairs program featuring members of the local community working to make East Texas a better place. In Focus is produced by KTBB and the Team Sports Radio. And we thank you for listening. Join us again next week.